Aren't you glad?
Yes.
That you're glad?
Yes.
That you're glad.
Yes. Glory. Glory in the lifter of our hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I got wires all over me, so don't touch me.
Getting a spiritual EKG.
I was down in the kitchen about 4:30, fixing me some coffee. I just out of nowhere, out of somewhere, out in here, came this loud and clear into my heart. It just simply said, "The voice of the vision."
Yes.
I thought, we're all visionaries.
Yes, we are.
We really are.
Yes.
That was the way we were designed.
Yes.
It was a few days ago, not long ago, I was in John chapter 1. And I have an older son that lives in Atlanta. And there's not many days go by that he don't read me John chapter 1. Because he sees a whole lot more in John chapter 1 than most churches ever seen in John chapter 1.
Yeah.
All most people can see in John chapter 1 is a man called Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's there, but so are you.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to stay there, but it's imperative that I say this to say what I want to say. It just simply said, in the beginning was
yes.
The Word.
Yes.
And then it'll tell you what the Word was mm-hmm. in the beginning.
Yes.
It was God.
Yes, it was.
Then it said, the same in the beginning was.
Mm-hmm.
What beginning? You ever think about it?
Mm-hmm.
And when he made the statement in Revelation 1, two or three different times, he would say, I'm Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
I read it this morning. John identified him as Alpha and Omega before he ever heard a voice behind him.
Yes, he did.
And when he heard the voice behind him, he again said, I'm Alpha and Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning and the end.
Yes.
Read a couple of verses further, and again he repeats it. And then he comes down in the same setting, and he said, I am he that was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Was dead.
Yes.
Now the Word never was dead.
Mm-mm.
Go back to John in the beginning with the Word. It simply said, and the Word... You see, I have this concept somewhere that he took his word and put into flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it says. It said that the word was made flesh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. The word was God.
Yeah. That's right.
So the word, God, was made flesh
yes.
before Jesus ever appeared.
Mm-hmm.
I already know you're not going to stone me. If you was going to stone me, you'd done it this morning. So I got great boldness tonight just to proclaim. But that's what he said. Read it. You know that. Isn't it amazing the interpretation that we have given to what God said?
Yeah.
And you see, if the Spirit of Truth doesn't give you the proper interpretation, we got a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wonder where they came from, don't you?
Yeah.
Here, several months ago, I was in a meeting, and somebody proceeded to give me what they call a prophetic word. I've had a few of those, have you?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not belittling anything here. And I never said anything. I just stood there and listened to the... I didn't receive it. I heard it. Big difference.
Yeah.
And so when the prophetic word was finished, we had a discussion. My question was this. I have the Spirit of truth in me.
Amen.
Why would God tell you to tell me if he has already told me?
Amen.
You missed me. You'll have to do it again. That went by me. But you see, it was all in the beginning that the Word was made. Made flesh. Well, I said I wasn't going to stay there, but I'm there for a moment, so I'll read it. I want to make sure I don't misquote anything here. Here's what he said. In the beginning was the Word, period. Then he said, and. He has a conjunction word with it. He's about to tie it together. And the Word was with God. There's another conjunction word. He's going to tie it all together now. And the Word was God. Mm-hmm. You've got three ands in that one verse of Scripture. If he hadn't put the and, it would have been a separated. But because he put the and, he tied them in together, and they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Verse 3. Well, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. But verse 1, it says he was God.
Mm-hmm.
The same in the beginning was with God. It literally means they were inseparable.
Yes.
The Word was God, God was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Any way you want to say it. And however you want to say it, he took what it was and made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read that in a minute. Let's go down to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That which he had made didn't recognize him. You better be careful here now. How many believe that if any man's in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature? He's not Adam redeemed. Would y'all listen to me now? Y'all look at me funny. God never saved Adam. Adam was born to finalize and put death to an end.
Yes.
In Adam, all die.
Yes.
And when Adam died, there ain't no more death. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not Adam warmed over or made over. You're not Adam resurrected.
Amen.
You just ain't. And I know somebody you want to be, but you ain't.
That's right.
And there is so many descriptions about Adam, who he is and what he looked like. And somebody mentioned, I believe, this morning or sometime today about the trees in the garden. And it's all been made a big fairy land, a big fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And then I'm not going to deal with the garden, because your garden may look as good as mine, but I'll tell you this. The garden wasn't a piece of real estate somewhere in the Middle East.
Right.
I can prove it by the book.
Mm-hmm.
The garden is and was and always will be a paradise where God is. And all those trees are supposed to be in the garden. Trees always depict people. They represent people.
Mm-hmm.
But in that garden, you've got a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always highlighted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what it is. It's knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
So we thought, well, we got to get rid of the evil so the good can remain. I beg your pardon, they're one and the same tree.
Yes.
And if you don't get rid of the good that's on that tree, you got a problem.
Yes. Yes.
Because it creates what the scripture calls double-mindedness.
Yes.
Two vision.
Yes.
Unstable.
No.
I ain't gonna do that. But I'll say this in passing. That tree of knowledge of good and evil, anything well but a law. That's all it is. And you see, it's all in perception.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the tree and you can see good. You can look at the tree and you see evil. But it's all in perception.
Yes.
It's all in your vision.
Yes.
And could we not say that our whole lifespan has been according to our vision?
Mm-hmm.
Could we not say that?
Yes.
Sometimes we didn't know where we were going.
Right.
But we knew there was something in us compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded on the road to Emmaus. I think it's, 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they stood there and watched him crucified. They'd walked with him for 3.5 years. Watched him crucified, hang on the cross, and they're on their way home.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, somebody joins their group and starts talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a clue who he is. Hear me, they'd walk with him for 3.5 years
mm-hmm.
in that form.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he takes on another form and they can't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how many times he's appeared in a different form and I couldn't recognize him.
Yeah.
I'm used to a vision that I've always had. And I'm here to declare tonight our vision has come to a finality, and we're having a vision now that no generation knows anything about.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this from the depths of my being, and I mentioned this morning, and I'll relate to it again. There is an unknown tongue now amongst us. And that unknown tongue is going to declare to you mystery that has been hid from every generation from the time God began the world.
Amen.
It's been unknown.
Yes.
It's still unknown.
Yes.
But it's an unveiling the mystery of the economy of God and who He is.
Yes.
Now let me tell you this. It ain't just about who He is, it's about who you are.
Yes.
Why are you here? And I keep asking myself that. Why did I come into this, what we call terra firma? What is my purpose of being here? Sing a few songs, sing I love Jesus, and then go to a hole in the ground and be forgotten? I beg your pardon. There's some more to that thing, and
yes.
There's more to this and that.
Yes.
I ain't got no notes, so I can just preach, okay? I don't ever preach in no way, sir. But here's what he said. I'm still in John. I thought it was. I am. He's the world, and the world was made by him. Let me finish the road to Emmaus. He joined the crowd. They didn't have a clue. He said, "What are y'all talking about?" They said, "Don't you know?" He said, "Now tell me what you're talking about." He just kept his mouth shut and kept walking. It's amazing what you can hear when you don't speak.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what you don't hear sometimes because you do speak.
Yes.
Have you ever heard somebody speaking and you would say, "Shut up"?
Yeah.
Now tell me the truth.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'll ask your husband or your wife about that when the church is over. Have you ever heard yourself speaking and you didn't know what you're talking about? Well, if you don't know, how do you expect somebody else to know? Really?
Amen.
But when they got to the little city, the little village of Emmaus, they turned to go home. And he going on down. They said, "No, you come in. And you know the story. And it says, while they were breaking bread, their eyes were open. Now, it didn't say what kind of bread. They were just breaking bread. Their eyes were open. I'll tell you this. Yesterday's manna won't open your eyes.
That's right.
Yesterday's manna will make you sick at your tummy because it's got worms in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, y'all smile at me.
Yes.
It'll give you the bellyache. It'll make you fuss and fume and wonder why you went to church that night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've did that how many times? Have you? I tell you what, you might well enjoy yourself. I am.
Amen.
I got to get out of John. He said, he came to his own received him not. I want to ask you a question. Who was his own? Somebody said, he came to the world. Did he? I mean, this is not a loaded question now. Who is his own that he came to? Did you ever think about it? Who was his own? Well, he'll tell you if you read the house of Judah,
mm-hmm.
the worshiping tribe.
Yeah.
That's who he came.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't have him.
Yep.
They didn't receive him. You know why? Because he was about to tear up their playhouse the way they worshiped.
Yes.
If you want to read it, go to John chapter 4 and you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he came to tear up a whole lot of playhouses, didn't he? And it's always amazing me, he never prophesied to nobody.
Nope.
No, I'm serious. He never used a gift one time. Not one time did he use a gift. Did you ever wonder why? I have. I'm serious. Why did he not use what we call gifts of the Spirit? Why did he not use the three gifts of utterance? Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Why did he not use the three gifts of discernment? Why did he not use the three gifts of faith? Why did he not do that? Well, when I begin to understand, as he is, I am,
mm-hmm.
and I'm as much of a son as he is,
mm-hmm.
we got the same father,
right.
came from the same family, eat the same table, and I have a robe of glory waiting for me just like he did when I finished what I come here to finish.
Amen.
Oh, hear me now.
Yes.
I pulled off some shoes to come here.
Amen.
I pulled off a robe and a ring to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you see, when I'm finished here, I'm going to say like he did, Father, I finished my work. Now give me my glory back. Mm-hmm. Give me my robe back.
Mm-hmm.
Give me my ring back. Give me my shoes back.
Yes.
Do you hear? Can you believe this?
Yes.
Now, somebody said, well, when you're finished here, what are you going to do? There's another world waiting for me. Well, there is.
Yes.
We sang, well, go heal the nations. And I don't think we have a clue yet how many nations there are yet to be.
Yes.
That has got to have the same sound that we hear. And I think I shared this. We was in a meeting up in Tennessee some months ago on a Sunday morning, and a cloud dropped down over me. I didn't see it. I wasn't even aware of it. I just knew I was up there somewhere, and the cloud dropped over me, and the person that was in charge of the fellowship seen the cloud, and her first thinking was this, that God had anointed me to teach that group. It never dawned on me. I wasn't even my thinking at all. And so when they began to inquire about the real interpretation of the cloud, this is what the Lord said. That cloud that they had seen was some ministering angels from another world who come to hear what was being said
Amen.
In that meeting.
Amen.
Can you hear this?
Yes.
You better hear this.
Because
we're not just beating our gums.
Yes.
There's nations and worlds got their ear tuned to this very meeting tonight.
Yes.
If I didn't believe that, I'd close this thing and go home and never preach another lick. If only in this life I had hope in Christ Jesus, I'd be of all men most miserable, wouldn't you? This ain't about just a handful of people gathered here in Dothan, Alabama. There's ministering spirits here tonight. And it says they are to minister to the heirs of salvation. not to save a sinner.
Right.
Hello.
Yes.
And ain't nothing wrong with a sinner getting saved. The only thing about it, he never was lost. Look, I didn't come in on just a turnip truck.
That's right.
I've been down the road a few miles.
Yes.
And I've done my share, and I've heard my. I've heard everything that you can imagine about hearing, something you could imagine, just like some of you have.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't you glad for the Spirit of Truth?
Yes.
That has come now to guide us into all truth.
Yes.
And you see, it's the Spirit of Truth, or it's the life of the truth.
Yes.
It's not a dead letter.
Amen.
How many know this is just a dead letter?
Mm-hmm.
How many knows that?
That's right.
Did you ever wonder why we know it's dead letter, why we ever try to live by it? Oh, hear me now. I'm not being funny.
Amen.
And we have.
Yes.
And I love this book. And I hear people tell me all across the country, you don't need it anymore. Maybe you don't, but I do.
Amen.
I love this book.
Amen.
But I'm not naive enough to know that this book is my life.
Right.
There's a life that supersedes the pen and ink that it took to write this paper, this book. And the life that I live, King James, had nothing to do with it. You hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is all about King James.
Mm-hmm.
It says it's King James. Can you hear that? It's King James.
Mm-hmm.
Translation.
Mm-hmm.
But the life, the Spirit of Truth, so far supersedes any translation.
Yes, it does.
We'd be kind of dumb if we try to build our life on any translation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you don't have to, because the Spirit of Truth. Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to change. This day that he brought us to, you're going to hear yourself say things out of your own mouth that you've never heard in your life.
Amen. Yes.
And you're going to hear things come out of your own belly that it's going to be hard to find interpretation right here. You mark this here on your pipe and you smoke it good. Because I declare to you that he brought us to a consummation of some things, that he can be the beginning of all new things. And I said this morning, and I'll rehash it for a moment. And I don't remember exactly how I said it, but it was something to this effect. I've been in situations in my life that I wanted to bring to a closure.
Mm-hmm.
And we adopted the saying, so we can go on with our life.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? How many's ever said that?
We all have.
Be honest with me now. You just want to bring a closure to some things and put them behind you so you can go on with your life.
Yes.
And when we say that, we're actually saying the experience that I've been in has kept me from going on with my life.
Yes.
I want to bring it to a closure. I want to get it out of my life. I want to get it over with so I can go on with my life. And I'm going to tell you by the Spirit of the Lord, there's some things that's coming to a closure, and they've already begun. They're coming to a closure in your walk in God.
Yes.
Because if they're not allowed to be brought to a closure, you're going to be dancing the same fiddle tune 5 years from now that we're dancing now.
Amen.
Can you hear this?
Amen.
We're going to keep saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the same ritual.
Yes.
I read this one. I got to drive 3 hours. I got to hurry. I'm still in John. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, as an age-old sonship scripture, even to them that believe on his name. Now look at verse 13. Those that believe on his name, which was born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yes.
Now you just read that, what it says. They that received him were born. Not of the flesh, not of the blood, nor of the little man. Read it. That's what it says. They that received him were born.
Yes.
I'm reading it. That's what it says.
Yes.
They that received him
yes.
were born.
Yes.
Flesh, blood, man had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. My God, that's burning in my being.
Yes.
They that received him were born yes. of God.
Yes.
Yes. Now let me drop this. This is my own conviction of my heart today. Tomorrow might be something else. It's not a blanket statement. I repeat that. Something that you have to hear. If you do, fine. If you don't, it's fine. But it's for me. Peter said this, that we were born of an incorruptible seed. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, I'll turn and read it.
Mm-hmm.
Of an incorruptible seed. They that are born of God are born of an incorruptible seed, and I declare emphatically there is no corruption in it.
Amen.
You can take it or leave it alone.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's what it says.
That's what it says.
But I tell you this. You was born in the mind of God before the world began.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, and you know it well. When was the lamb slain? From the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, who died with him?
Mm-hmm.
When? When was he slain? When he arose, when did you know? I'd love somebody, and I'm serious, I'd like somebody to tell me how this all started 2,000 years ago. I'm serious. I'm really serious. And I know you're not jumping the pews tonight. That's all right. You'll jump them tomorrow. The Spirit of Truth will catch up with us after a while. And he'll let us know what this thing is all about. And when he does, we're going to come unglued.
Amen.
We're going to lay everything that we've ever known in the fire.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a, if you know Jewish history, and I don't want to take the time to say this, but I will. Under the Mosaic law, every family would offer a lamb, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They did that when they came out of Egypt. Took the blood on the doorpost. Every family, if you was too poor to have a lamb, then you'd borrow some of your neighbor's lamb's blood and put it on your doorpost. Just so there's blood on the post, that's all that really counted. But every family had a lamb. Because at the time of the sacrifice, every family had to take their lamb. Remember? And during the rain, when that lamb was born, it became a member of the family. I mean, they'd go through that baby lamb's skin and hair, and they'd doctor it, and it had to be without blemish.
Yes.
Because they knew when they took it to the high priest to offer it, if there's a blemish on it, they didn't have a sacrifice, no lamb. So they made sure that that lamb had no blemish on it. And the father of the family, the head of the family, would take some kind of a material and put a nameplate around the neck of that lamb. Everybody knew it was that family's lamb. If the family was named Smith, the lamb would wear the name Smith on a nameplate around its neck. And so when they come time for the sacrificial lamb to be offered, they'd all take their lamb to the temple. The high priest would look at that nameplate, and he would say, Smith's lamb, or Jones' lamb. Always identify that lamb with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that never really made a lot of sense to me until all of a sudden it dawned on me. John the Baptist comes along, and all he knows is that a dove would set on him, and whoever the dove would set on, he would be able to identify him. John seen a man coming down the road, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remember? My God. That wasn't Jones's lamb. That was the Father's lamb.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And the high priest of that higher sanctuary would hold that lamb up and declare, "The Lamb of God."
Yes.
Would take away the sins of one family, would take away the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
Behold the Lamb of God.
Yes.
And here come the baptismal ceremony. And all of a sudden out of the cloud, here came the resounding voice.
Mm-hmm.
"That's my son."
Yes.
He knew him. One place he said, "That's my son and who I am well pleased." No spot, no blemish. He's well qualified to be the spotless lamb. And here's the way Father dealt with my heart about that. That lamb's purpose of ever being was to be sacrificed. It didn't have a chance. I had no choice. It was born to be a sacrificial lamb. And then I remembered the Israel law. Take two to the temple. Mm-hmm. One would be a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. See, one would be allowed to go into the wilderness, but the other was designated to lose its head.
Yes.
I don't know yet why I'm here, but I'm here for a purpose. And it was always the duty of a priest to take that scapegoat into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to make sure that that scapegoat never found its way back to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
If that scapegoat came back into the camp, all Israel knew that the judgments of God had come to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
They just knew that. That was the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that priest would take that scapegoat into the wilderness, stay for days and days and wander around and get him all tangled up and lost and then leave him. That never did make sense to me until all of a sudden it dawned on me. When John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, declaring repent, all Israel knew that John the Baptist was a scapegoat that had been lost in the wilderness, had now come to bring judgment to the house of Israel. No wonder they despised him. John the Baptist had one message: repent. Or turn from Moses' law, what he really said.
Mm-hmm.
They come to John and said, "Oh, John." You see, they knew he was judgment. They knew. Mm-hmm. They knew he come with camel's hair, eating wild honey and locusts. They knew that he'd been lost in that wilderness. And now all of a sudden that ram that was supposed to never find his way back, all of a sudden comes walking in their camp. And I've been there a thousand times when I'd feel that something walking through my being and declaring to me, "Repent, repent, repent, turn, 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 turn." He wasn't talking about sin. He was talking about turning away from something. And it didn't matter what you had believed. He said, "Turn."
Yes.
Repent.
Mm-hmm.
Turn away from it. You used it. It blessed you. It was your life.
Yes.
Correction come to your house. Now turn from that.
Yes.
We have no choice now but to turn.
Amen.
Because we was designated to bring the glory of God into a darkened region of the dam.
Yes.
And he ain't talking about going under the earth somewhere. He's talking about walking through the regions of the damned.
Hallelujah.
Walking through the region among the dead.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about religious order, religious system that's
yes.
dead.
Yes.
And he said they're priced dead, plucked up by the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never do it by prophetic ministry. We'll never do it by any part realm ministry.
Right.
And we won't ever do it by our well-preached sermons. If it's not a life of God that we can share and give, we'll never release the nations.
Amen.
We'll never heal the nations.
Amen.
They don't want a sermon. They can care less how much I prophesy. They want some life.
Yes, yes.
And I tell you now, God demanded you to give life.
Yes.
God's ordained you and sent you here to ever to be life.
Yes.
The word light, the word life is all the same word.
Yes.
When your light's your life.
Yes.
I have some dear friends, and they'll probably hear this tape, and they may not be my friends anymore. That won't bother me either. Because as much as I know my heart and I know how, I'm committed to being and doing
yes.
everything that I know he wants me to be and do.
Yes.
I'd love you to be my buddy, and if you are, that's fine. And if you ain't, that's fine too. No Choctaw Indian brother in Oklahoma taught me that. I didn't come here to make you my buddy. I come here to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And if we leave this meeting tonight without something resonating in our being, we've wasted God's time and your time and
yes.
my time and everybody
yes.
else.
Yes.
Yes.
But I have some dear friends, and their headline is this: we travel as a prophetic team. And I looked at that. What is a prophetic team? Some more friends of mine. They have a title. I'm a prophetess and a psalmist. I said, what are you? You two things? And I'm not making little of anything God does now. Don't hear that. We're in the nitty-gritty of some things. And I think I can feel that coming. I think you hear what I'm saying. And what they meant was, I prophesy and I sing songs. I was honest, I didn't know what it meant. I'm a prophetess and a psalmist. And I want to know what it's all about. I'm just a dumb cotton picker from Arkansas. Speak plain to me. And the southern one, well, we prophesy and we sang a song. I said, oh, what do you prophesy? Well, that's a dumb question to ask somebody who prophesies. But the Mexican people taught me something. We used to do some missionary work in Mexico. And we was having fellowship with a group, and the ladies wore their little thing on top of their head. Y'all seen them. That's just their custom. A handkerchief, anything, but you can't go inside of a church if you ain't got something on top of your head. A woman. A dumb man can go in bald-headed, I guess. But a woman. Y'all ever wonder why women always got picked on? I'm serious. A woman always had to wear something on her head. Why about a dumb man? There's neither male nor female, and yet there's both in Christ. Why would a woman have to wear something on her head? A man, it'd be 110 degrees, and they'd be sweating and a-sweating and a-wiping sweat, but they couldn't lose that thing on their head. They could take a palm leaf and put it on their head. Some of them did. Just put something on your head. And, of course, I know what they did to Corinthians when they interpreted the Corinthians. Oh, but I heard something. They had some bishops.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ever met a bishop?
Yeah.
He's somebody.
Uh-huh.
He sits on a platform.
Yeah.
And I'm being funny, and I know I am, but I like it. Somebody told me one time, said, Ray, I'm not a bishop nor a son of a bishop. I said, whoo. They were serious.
Amen.
I said, me either. But in that church that the women had to wear their thing, a woman wasn't allowed to prophesy. And a man, if a man wanted to prophesy, he had to raise his hand. Some of us would have been in a mess, wouldn't we? And he had to get permission from the bishop or the elder or whoever he was. And then he would recognize you, yes, brother. The brother would say, I want to prophesy. He'd ask him, what are you going to say? I'm serious. Don't you imagine a whole lot of prophesying would shut up if they had to tell what they were going to say before they said it? I'm being funny. Y'all ain't never been in that. I'm going to leave that alone. Oh, instantly, y'all don't have to have my permission to tell me what you're going to say if you want to prophesy. Just put it here. I'm gonna bring this to a closure. I never got to where I wanted to go, so I'm going to have to hurry and get there. Go to the Song of Solomon, will you please? I'm tickled to death that y'all let me come here tonight and this morning. I'm tickled. I'm happy.
We're glad to be here.
Are y'all happy?
Yeah.
Are you giggly happy? She's gonna giggle. I can see it coming. You got my permission, go ahead and laugh. And y'all help me to not stay here, because I heard this afternoon in the voice of the vision. And then I heard this. Every vision has its own voice.
Yes.
Psalms 19, he said this. Day unto day utter speech. Mm-hmm. So I knew 2 days stand there talking to one another. That's what he said. Day unto day utter speech. And he said there's not anywhere that their voice is not heard. So every vision has its own voice to proclaim the vision, that vision. And you can't take yesterday's vision and get today's voice to sound it. If it was yesterday's vision, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And so the vision, or the revelation, or the understanding, it's pretty much all the same, has its own voice to proclaim. You see, a vision is something that we see, and sometimes we see it partly until we start speaking. I've had this experience, and I'm sure you have, that I just get a glimpse of something in my heart, in my spirit, and when I open my mouth to let it come out, the whole thing would begin to unfold. Have you ever had that experience? It would just unravel itself as it came out.
Amen.
99 times out of 100, and this is really the truth, when I stand before a group of people to teach or speak anything, if there's any life comes out of me, it's as much life to me when it comes out as it is to the audience that receives
yes.
it. Because it becomes life as it comes through the vessel.
Yes, it does.
It's like the Bible says, the life is in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. It may be down here, but it does nobody any good until a tongue says,
yes.
a tongue speaks.
Yes.
A tongue will declare the vision.
Yes.
It'll proclaim it. Song of Solomon said this. Verse 2, let him kiss me. And I've preached this book, this particular book, and taught it and filmed. my life with, because it's, to me, some of the most beautiful books in the book. Mm-hmm. But he said, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. So this is the song of 1,005 that he supposedly wrote. But about all of them, this is the subtotal of everything he wrote. It said, the Song of Songs. Verse 2, it begins that, let him. Mm-hmm. And if you think in the natural terms, you're going to think of him as the Shulamite mm-hmm. man. And if you think of her, you think of the Shulamite woman. Mm-hmm. But go study your history, and they're one and the same.
Yeah.
So the she and the him are not two separate identities.
Amen.
So when she said, let him kiss me. How many has ever, and this is a silly question, but and it's, you can make it dirty if you want to, but to me, it's people, how many has ever desired to be kissed, literally kissed? You men ain't that old, are you? Y'all forgot. You forgot.
Yeah. Remind. I get kissed every day. Just every day.
I like that. I like that woman. Bad breath and all.
Yeah.
Just kiss me. Garlic, onions, kiss me.
Yeah.
And I do like garlic. But now, when you go look at another translation, this is what it says. Let him create in me a burning desire. Mm. So it goes far beyond just a peck on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
So the cry is, create in me a burning desire. And he did. I grant you that smack was heard into every heaven that mm-hmm. there ever was. Don't you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that must have been a humdinger. That kiss resonated all over God's creation.
Yes.
Mwah! Don't you imagine it did?
Mm-hmm.
She says, why? For your love is better than wine.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, wine is a life. And that's a love, and she knew that. The she part knew that there was something far beyond that any natural thing could touch.
Yes.
I don't want to stay here. Verse 4. The kiss, the burning desire. Here comes the confession from my heart. Draw me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you this, and some of you know this, some of you can remember making that commitment in your heart. You draw me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll run after you.
Yes, Lord.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I did. I will remember that.
Yes.
If you just draw me, I'll run.
Yes.
And then here come all my religious orders. They tried to sidestep me, you know, get me off on this fact. But you see, I was predestined before I ever got here. Oh, of course we were. We were predestined before we ever got on the scene. So if you think you come here and made a mess out of your life, you better think again. Honey, you ain't made no mess out of your life. Oh, come on. You might have got yourself in some messes. I have a few times. But did you know it's written at least four times in the scripture? He said, it is written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. You want to argue with that?
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, that was Jesus. No, it wasn't. It's written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God.
Yes.
He wrote it down in the volume of the book before I ever got here.
Yes.
You think he's going to tear that page out of his book and let me slip, slop around and make a mess and forget it? You better say again.
Amen.
He's not going to change his mind because the humanity part of me maybe not like what he does. It's already settled. It's eternal settled.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do the will of God. You can like it or love it, but you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And you'll do it in this age or you'll do it in the age to come, but you will do the will of God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And I used to plead, oh God, I don't know what your will is. Show me your will. Y'all never did that.
Yep.
Unless somebody said, well, that's a cop-out. I chuckled this morning at my brother, and he didn't know I chuckled when he was up there doing what y'all wanted him to do, taking prayer requests. Now, if y'all didn't want him to do that, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't. He's just doing what y'all want him to do. And y'all are doing that because y'all don't have anything else to do. Yeah, you do. You know better than that. I'm a bad boy. I'm bad. Don't you know better than that?
Right.
Tell me the truth.
Yes.
Then stop it.
Okay.
Give me 5 minutes, I'm gonna leave town. You do love me, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm not supposed to be laughing, but I'm happy. Draw me, and I'll run after you. Then hear her next statement. The king has brought me into his chambers. Now you remember, a kiss, a cry of the heart, and a revelation.
Yes.
She's in his chambers. That's as far as she can go right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is in his chambers. Verse 5, it's in her chambers that she has an understanding of who she really is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this the way I feel it in my heart. It was in those chambers, after the kiss, after the commitment, he took her into the chambers to where she'd have a revelation of who she was.
Amen.
And she describes it. And the first thing coming out of her mouth is, I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stop it there, she said black as the, you know, as the tense of Keter. And if you just stop it there, that's one side of who she is.
Mm-hmm.
That's her humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the tents of Keter was a shepherd's tent, and you know it well. And they put black goat skins on the outside of their tents to reflect the heat,
mm-hmm.
to throw the heat away. And she, first thing she saw, the first revelation she had was in those chambers of what her outside demeanor looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm black. But then here came another phase of the revelation. She said, but,
mm-hmm.
comely. That's one of the most beautiful words in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And the word comely means beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Suitable. And it literally summed up a beautiful, suitable dwelling place for the king. God, where we bend to be beaten down, that we're no good, and we just ain't worthy, and we just ain't no good, and we failed and goofed and messed up. Read what God says about you and believe it. Of course we're black. Oh, but we're comely. And she describes it as the curtains of Solomon. And the curtains of Solomon was a white twined linen that was on the inside chambers of the king's palace. And if I can look through that dark skin and goat skin tent that you lived in, I look inside and see the walls all laced out with a white fine twin linen that laced Solomon's temple and declare, yeah, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
A king lives in that dwelling place. Read the next verse 7. And then I want to go and finish. Tell me. Kiss me. Draw me. Show me. And then tell me. And it's all a sequence. And we've all been down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Step by step by step by step by step. And we were talking about before church. I'm sure glad of everywhere I've been But thank God it's where I have been. It ain't where I am. Somebody got a phone beeping, want me to shut up? I ain't gonna quit. Turn your phone off. I'm funny. I'm gonna ask you, how many is glad that you're not where you was? But now here's the truth. You're still who you've always been. You're just not where you used to be. Mm-hmm. You're who you've always been. Right. You see, you are who you was from the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. The Son of God.
Amen.
You've always been.
Yes.
And we were talking about this. A prophetic ministry, for whatever it may be worth, is either in the past or in the future. But the true spirit of prophecy is a testimony of I am.
Yes.
Can we hear that? Mm-hmm. If it's a true spirit of prophecy, and not a gift of utterance now, but a true spirit of prophecy is never about yesterday or tomorrow. It's always I am.
Yes.
Yes. I am.
Yes.
One of the verse, here it goes. We'll go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting table. Whole lot of difference in the banqueting table mm-hmm. and the chambers. This is where you're going to break bread. This is where you're going to eat and be a partaker. And again, it's the same pattern. When the bread is broken, understanding comes. It is. Because while she's sitting there in that banqueting table, she had a revelation. His banner is love. Mm-hmm. Everything by God is love.
Yes.
Everything over me is love. Mm-hmm. And I hear myself sometimes, I hear other people thanking God for protection. This ain't about protection. There's a banner that's already there
yes.
that guarantees he's already won the victory.
Yes. Yes.
And that banner is there for any adversary, enemy, or anybody else to see, hey, this is private property. You can't come here.
Amen.
Oh, your shot will be now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It ain't about him protecting you.
We're already protected.
He's already guaranteed that.
Yes. Yes.
The banner signifies that the war is over.
Yes.
There ain't no war. Well, I wouldn't offend you if I told you he's not some great warrior fighting your battles, would I?
That's right.
He ain't. Mm-mm. Somebody said, oh, he's fighting my battles. No, darling, he already did that.
He already did it.
He ain't fighting your battles. He's not a warrior. He's not fighting anything or anybody. He's resting.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what he is. He's a revelator.
Yes.
That's revealing to you what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done. It's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Yes.
It's already over. He's not a warrior. He's a revelator.
Yes.
Revealing, unveiling the mystery. So you can know who you already are.
Oh, yes.
Here's the last verse, and I've been trying to say that for the last 15 minutes, haven't I? You're so sweet not to agree with me. In chapter 2. Verse 8. The voice. Here we go again. The voice of my beloved. Now look at something. The voice ain't saying anything. It's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You read it?
Mm-hmm.
The voice of my beloved. Behold, or look.
Mm-hmm.
He cometh.
Mm-hmm.
Now the voice is a he.
Yes.
He cometh. Leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember this. It is a voice that's doing the leaping.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the mountain that he's leaping on.
Mm-hmm.
And the mountains is that high governmental order.
Amen.
That he always occupied. And he's not still. He's leaping.
Yes.
He's leaping. He's skipping on the hills. The hills is the lower framework of the higher order.
Mm-hmm.
The word mountain means a divine government. We know that. We know it's a high place. But you see, the voice is leaping there.
Yes.
It means it's ever taking you from understanding to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally you behold him as he is.
Yes.
And you see, the truth is, we'll read this a little bit in a little bit. You see, when the voice speaks from that high order,
mm-hmm.
you hear him
yes.
from that high place.
Yes.
Now here, let's look at it.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 9, my beloved is like a roe, a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our veil. He looketh forth at the windows, which is your revelation, your spirit, your eyes. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. And there's your part rim.
Uh-huh.
Now remember this. Let's get this in order. And I ain't never been here like this. But the voice is in the high place.
Yes.
But he's seeing you through the lattice
mm-hmm.
of your windows. That voice, although it's in the high places, is able to descend to see you where you're at. And you see, anytime I'm in a part realm ministry, and I've been there, and I'm not belittling that, but anytime I'm there, I'm trying to pull that high voice down to that low realm where I'm trying to function from. He doesn't come. I want to show you something. He said, my beloved spoke. Now listen to this. My beloved spoke and said unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he said. Rise up, my love.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying was, I'm not going to come and maintain or dwell in that part realm where you're at. I want you to come up into this higher realm.
Yes.
Come up, my love,
mm-hmm.
my fair one, and come away. And if you go put that in his proper context, he's trying his best to persuade me
yes.
to leave where I have been
yes.
and everything I know
yes.
and come into a dimension where the voice
yes.
is.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Will you let me ask? What good, children, is it going to do us to hear a voice if we can't go to where the voice is?
That's right.
Come on now. I'm trying to hurry. Then he says, why? The winter is over.
Yes.
The winter is past. The rain's over and gone. Mm-hmm. Look, that day ended.
Yes.
It's gone.
Yes.
You ain't going to get no rain there anymore.
No more.
You may well pack up your tent, get ready to go somewhere, because there ain't no rain there no more.
Amen.
You're not going to persuade God that he ought to come to where you have to do something for you.
Yes.
Is this all right?
Yes.
Tell me if it ain't.
Yes.
The flowers appear on the earth. We're going to tell you now why you ought to come away. The time of the singing birds has come. And the bird was a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
The turtle built, which is peace. He said, the winter's past, the rain's over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds, the peace has come. And the voice of my turtle, of the turtle, is heard in our land. And when the peace comes to that land, you can leave it in peace.
Yes.
And ascend into
yes.
a dimension
yes.
to where the voice comes from.
Yes.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
Fig tree putteth forth her green figs, the vine with a tender grape give a good smell. And he keep, you see, if that was such a wonderful place, why would he keep trying to persuade her to leave it?
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all reading what I'm reading?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would he want, why would he keep trying to persuade her to come up here?
Yeah.
If that was such a beautiful place. Why would he do that? And I'm going to say again, do you suppose we get trapped
mm-hmm.
in the belief system?
Yep.
I think I have been.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Verse 14. My dove, that in the cleft of the rock. You're in the place of ascension, what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the secret place of the stairs. Now, this is what it was all about. Let me see
yes.
your countenance.
Your countenance.
And it's always been about him.
Yes.
Oh, I want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to see him. Oh, I want to be like him.
Yes.
Oh, I just want him to do so much for me. Oh, it's all him, all him. And here, the other side of the coin shows itself. He wants to see mm-hmm. your countenance.
Yes.
Did it ever dawn on you that he might want to look at you for who you really are?
Yes.
Instead of you always wanting to look at him?
Amen.
And read the next part of that verse. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice.
Yes.
Two requests. I want to see you. I want to hear you. Now I'm going to tell you where I'm at. This is the conviction of my heart. We have now come to the day to where we, under the authority, if you want to use that word, the unction, if you want to use that word, and the office of the Spirit of Truth.
Yes.
Will have every right in the world to stand and make a declaration. Look at me, eat my flesh, and drink my blood,
yes.
and you can have life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what he said.
Yes.
That's what the firstborn said.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do it, he said, you ain't got no life. And I hear it resonating through your thinking. Oh, but that can't be me. Well, if it's not you, who can it be? Really, really. And I keep hearing. You see, it's amazing when I stand before you, some of you pull from me, and some of you pull from me, and some will pull this, and some pull that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start pulling, I hear what you're pulling.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I'm not saying that braggadocio. I mean, that's serious. I'm serious when
Amen.
I say that. I hear you. I feel you pulling from me.
Yes.
I feel you pulling, drawing from me.
Yes.
But I hear what you're thinking when you're drawing. Some of you say, oh, that's wonderful, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, then go home tomorrow, go home tonight and go to sleep and forget what it was all about tomorrow. Because in your thinking, you're trapped. Sometimes we get trapped in a thinking process. All I've got to look forward to is go home and be with the Lord someday. And some of you are older than I am, and you know, unless God intervenes, your humanity ain't going to keep walking much longer.
That's right.
The old saying is, some people say, well, they got one foot in the grave and the other headed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's you can think that if you want to.
That's right.
But I'm gonna serve you a notice tonight. You go that route if you want to, but you're gonna do the will of God somewhere, sooner or later,
yes.
you're gonna
yes.
fulfill the purpose that God sent you
yes.
here to fulfill.
Yes.
And you can cop out and how I'm old, I'm sick, I don't feel good, all these things, you know, all you want to. But it's already written in the volume of the book. He sent us here to do the will of God, and we'll do it.
Yes.
We may fume and fuss and fight one another while we're doing, but we're going to do the will of God.
Yes, we are.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to see you, and he wants to hear what you've got to say.
Yes
he does. Oh, hallelujah. I ain't done. I never did get to Revelation, but I will some of these days. Aren't you glad that you're part of what God's doing?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
Let's just stand, okay? How do you turn this off?